our saints in the past. Held fast to God's promise with their faith to the test. Well, I know they had hold of a powerful hand. 'Cause in the midst of the storm, when they should have gone down, they found strength to stand. So let the flood waters roll, let the storm winds blow, let everything hell has tearing my soul. It may hinder me, bring me down on my knees, that's as far as I'll go. Not a battle's been lost on that old rugged cross. I'm gonna reach heaven no matter the cost. I've made up my mind, it's just about time. Sweet heaven's in view.
A little more volume, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Lord. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in Galatians in the 5th chapter. Galatians in the 5th chapter. Galatians, the 5th chapter. So good to see you in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday evening. Brother David singing that song and talking about it. You know, he says, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, that I have meat that you know not of. Amen. And that's why we can keep going, don't we? Galatians 5 and 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the word. God, help us to draw from the word that you would have us to hear tonight and to digest in our souls, God. Father, that would help us and our daily walk for your glory. Love you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Powerful scripture. You know, they came tempting Jesus. They said, which is the greatest commandment of Moses? And Jesus said the first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. The second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if we love the Lord, we're going to do what the Lord asks us to do. Amen? If we love the Lord, we're not going to be angry with him and cuss him. Amen? If we love the Lord, we're going to do his commandments. If, on the other hand, we love our neighbors, we're not going to, you know, steal from him, are we? We're not going to kill him if we love him. We're not going to take his husband or wife, are we, if we love him? Amen. So it says here in Galatians in the 14th chapter, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. What word is that? Love. Amen. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We know the golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Find that in Matthew 7 and 12. For those that's taken notes, Jesus said, what you would have other men to do unto you, do also unto them. Amen. And so we find that through life is a good rule to go by. How you want others to treat you, treat them. Amen. If you'll be kind to those in the cash register, they'll be kind to you. Most of the time. There's always exception to the rule. There's some hard heads. Amen. Because sometimes they try to be good to us and we mean to them. You know, so. But the Word of God is true nevertheless. Amen. So we're talking about loving our neighbor. And really what love, and when we love someone, we think it's always pleasing them. But sometimes when we love someone, we do things that's difficult toward them. Amen. He goes on in Galatians in the 6th chapter in verse number 1. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what's that next word? Restore such an one in the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. Amen. He's telling us here, and keep it in mind, the verse 14 that we read, that all the law is fulfilled in one word, love. And when we do anything, we do it through love. And love drives us to do the things that's hard and difficult sometimes, but love will drive us to do it in the right way. Amen. Love is our steering wheel, I guess you could say. It's our brake pedal. It's our accelerator. It's our whole moving part of us. But he's saying here, if we see someone that's overtaken, first of all, in a fault. What is a fault? A fault is a side slip. Someone overtaken in an error or a sin, it means. Or to fall aside. If we see a man that is overtaken in this fault, or if he's fell aside by the wayside, he said, then you that are spiritual, so often, you know, in the kingdom of God, is the only army that kills their wounded. In the military out there, when someone gets wounded on the battlefield, we see the heroes come out of the foxhole and risk their life, their very life, to go out there and drag them back to the safety. Amen. But we see in the church world where someone gets wounded, most of the time we peck them to death on the telephone to one another. Or we peck them to death picking their life of pieces, and peck them to death and while they're in that situation. Amen. Which is the wrong thing to do. Amen. He said, you which are spiritual, ye which are have the goods, ye that love your neighbor. He said, restore such a one. Re means again, like born again. Re, put them in store again. Get them back up into good standing with God. Restore means to repair. Amen. It means to completely to complete thoroughly. That's what restore means. He said, ye which are spiritual, you need to repair them. You need to complete their life back thoroughly again. Now, if you know anything about, there's a lot of builders in here. And when you go to do a job and there's some damage done on the job, that the first thing you do is you remove all the damaged material. Amen? All the stuff that is damaged. You don't just go in there and start building back over the rotten wood. You don't go back in there over the broken boards and start just patching something together. No, you have to remove all that first. So there has to come a time in our lives that we have to use meekness, he said right here. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. In other words, when we go to someone that is overtaken in a fault, they're very delicate. And we have to somehow take that broken material or that rotten material that has caused them to get in that place. And we've got to somehow surgically remove that out of their life. And it's called repentance. And then we begin to build back again them in good standing in the church. Amen? That's what it's talking about. But he says we'd have to do it in the spirit of meekness, like a surgeon goes in. Because a surgeon goes in and he has to really be careful. Otherwise, while he's trying to cut out a cancer, he could cut into a vital organ. And it's the same way in our lives. And when we see people and we're dealing with personalities and we all have different personalities and we're dealing with people's souls, that we have to handle it in the right way, because souls are in the balance. And if we don't, people can be forever lost and their blood shall be upon our hands. Amen. I woke up this morning, the scripture came to me in Galatians 5:14. And I laid there in the bed and I said, I wonder what Galatians 5:14 says. I ought to know. And then the scripture came to me right after that, 6:1. I didn't know the 6:1 part, but I knew the scripture that I'm just reading to you. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves. Meekness is mildness. It is humility. I'm talking about correcting people's wrongs, but doing it in a spirit of humility. They say when you go to talk to a child, don't look down on that child and talk to it, but get down on your hands and knees on their level and you can communicate to them. They'll listen to you. That's humility. When we go to someone that has fallen and we go there in our spiritual stamina and our stance that we've never done anything wrong and we begin to talk to them how they can get right with God. He said, don't do that. He said, go in the spirit of meekness, that you would humble yourself down and feel what they're feeling and understand the embarrassment and understand the pain that they feel that they have let God down. Amen? That's what he's talking about. 1 Timothy 5:1. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers. The younger as sisters with all purity. In other words, the same way if I were to have to go to my earthly dad and talk to him about something, I would go there humbly to talk to him about it. And he said that's the same way that you approach a brother or sister in the church or someone else. You go before them humbly, amen. The same way that you wouldn't go before your dad and rebuke him and get in his face or talk down to him. But you would do it humbly. The Bible tells us, who is the meekest man other than Christ? Moses. Who said that? A bunch of you? Okay. them back there. Moses, the Bible tells us. We see the story of Moses when he's talking about Moses. We see Moses in the Word of God is Numbers, the 12th chapter, he says that he was the meekest man. Moses had a lot of things that would upset him, and it's nothing wrong with getting upset. Ephesians 4, 20, is it? Fourth chapter. Be angry, sin not. In other words, he said, when you get angry, you get close to sinning. You better watch out. Amen. But we see here in Exodus, in the 32nd chapter, we see the story of the time when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. He'd been up there for a month. He'd been gone a month. And he's getting the Ten Commandments. And God has chiseled them out in stone himself, writing them with his finger or whatever. And he sees what's going on down there and them with their golden calf deal. And he began to talk to Moses. He said, get down, them people you brought out. He said, I'm gonna destroy them and raise another generation. I'm going to raise somebody else up. And old Moses, boy, he went to interceding. He said, oh, no, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, no. You can't do that. Remember Abraham and remember Isaac. Remember Jacob. You know, remember the promise. I mean, you remember all this, you know. And he begins to talk to God, you know, that God, no, you can't do this. He's intercessory prayer. Amen? He's a meek man. The same way that when we see someone that's overtaken of a fault, we need to intercede for them. We need to begin to pray for them, and we need to help them. Amen? Somehow. And so the Lord repents of the evil he was going to do. And so Moses starts down with the Ten Commandments. You know the story. And then he sees it. And he blows his wig. He takes the commandments and he throws them and busts them up, you know. He takes the calf and he grinds it into powder. He throws it in the water and makes the people drink from it. And the water took and floated the gold on down away from him. It's like carrying sin away from him, you know. Then Moses feels kind of bad, I think, for what he did. I don't know. And then he gets to the 30th verse. Listen. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the what? People. Ye have sinned a great sin. It's called rebuke. You have sinned a great sin. He's let them know what they've done. He didn't whitewash it. He didn't grind it to powder and send it on down and say, well, it'd be okay. Don't worry about it. Let's go on. And, you know, it's kind of like in the church world. It's so much sin that's brought in this on this heel of this shoe. And so another sin in this here and another sin in this pocket and another little something here and a little something here. To after a while, the church has swept it all under the rug and nobody can get saved because there's so many lumps in the spiritualness of the church. Amen? Good preaching, ain't it? It's Sunday morning, ain't it? No, it's a Wednesday night message. Because we're the one going to heaven. You're the ones that's spiritual. You're the ones that's got to restore them other people. In the spirit of meekness. And so he says, ye have sinned a great sin. He let them know what they did was wrong. And now I will go up unto the Lord preadventure. I shall make an atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And then he just begins to, I believe, in the Holy Ghost just comes on him and he begins. There's words there, that little mark there that the people don't even know what it means. It was words. It was a language out of this world. He began to get in the spirit praying. The little did it. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Wow. What love. What did Paul say? Paul had love, did he not? He said, if it were possible that every other man could go to heaven and I would go to hell, he said, I would go to hell so that everybody else could go to heaven. Boy, what love. I ain't saying that. I don't know if I got that much love. You, Brother Jerry? That'd be a hard thing now for me now. Wait a minute. I read something in the Bible about hell, you know. Wait a minute. Man, what a man. But that's what Moses is saying. He said, if you don't forgive them, blot my name out too. Wow. What love. What love. No wonder he was meek. Now, he wasn't down there with them people. He didn't make that calf. He wasn't rebelling. He wasn't dancing. He was on the mountain for a month. But yet, look, he said to God, put me in the same lump with all of them and don't let me go to heaven too if you can't let them go. What love. Verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Amen. So Moses, you did right in telling them they need to repent. They did right. And that's what we have to do. We have to do the same thing. We have to let people know when they've done wrong. So often the church people will say, well, I'm going to just kind of look over it. Boy, you don't know where. You got to look up now. Nowadays. Look in the 17th chapter and verse 1. Listen. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for that a millstone were hanged about his neck. Brother John, you need to bring that millstone up here sometime and set it up here for him. And cast in the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee. What did he say do? Rebuke him. In the spirit of meekness. Amen. In humility. Right? And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again, saying, I repent. That's a big word, isn't it? I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, the only place in the Bible they ask him, increase our faith. Give us enough of you, Lord, that we can rebuke. In spirit of meekness and humility, we do it right according to the word of God. We do it through love, that we love our neighbor. We don't want to see them go to hell. Amen? In other words, rebuke means to censure. Censure means to express an unfavorable opinion. It is not cussing them out. It is not belittling them. But it's letting them know that you have an unfavorable opinion over what they have done or what they are doing. Amen. It is putting the blame where it belongs, in other words. And what happens? It brings repentance. Otherwise, they'll never repent. That's what preaching is. Do you know that's what preaching is? That's what brings people to repentance. It's the preaching. It is it's an expression of an unfavorable opinion. And if the shoe fits, we got to wear it. Amen. Galatians in the 4th chapter in verse number 16. Paul says here to him, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I mean, there's a lot of people that would rather lie to people rather than tell them the truth. They'll ask them, say, do you see anything wrong with my life? And they'll say, no, but as soon as they get out of sight, there'll be something. Would you know the way they're living over there? Man, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Paul said, because I tell you the truth, I've become your enemy. So I have had people get up and walk out shaking their head at preaching up here. Amen. But I love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. I love people enough that I'm not going to hold back. amen, and save their feelings. Because hell has feelings. The rich man in Luke 16th chapter said, I am tormented in these flames. I don't want to see a person go to hell. It says in Galatians in the 2nd chapter, verse 4, Paul says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul said that I don't bite my tongue for anybody. Amen? He said, I'm going to tell them the truth. If the hair stands up, the hair's got to stand up. I'm going to tell them the truth. If they ask me, I'm going to tell them the truth. If I see them doing wrong, I'm going to let them know they're doing wrong. But I'm going to do it in the spirit of meekness and humility and love, because I love them enough to tell them that they're wrong. Amen. How many had parents in here that told you when you was wrong? Why did they do that? Because they loved you. They didn't want you to do wrong. They loved you. They would lay down their life for you. And it's the same way when we tell others. Sometimes you'll make enemies. But look, when they come to their senses, they'll come back and thank you. When you do it in love. When you do it in a spirit of meekness and humility. You see, what they were doing, there was a group of people that were playing church. You know, there's a lot of Christians today, they play church. They're play Christians. They say they're Christians, but they're not. They're only playing church. They're doing the practices of it. They're playing to be Christians, but they're really not. And so what Paul is saying here, he said, I have enough God and enough love for them to let them know you're not fooling anyone but yourself. He did that to Peter, remember in the book of Acts. And he mentions it here in the verse 11 of the second chapter of Galatians. He said in verse 11, he says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. In other words, he was one thing around the Gentiles, and he was something else around the Jews. When he was with the Gentiles, he said, you don't have to be circumcised. And then he'd get around the Jews and said, circumcision, circumcision, baby. There's a lot of church people. Come Sunday, they look one way. Come Monday, they look another. Come Sunday, they're talking one way and amening and shouting. And come, you know, the rest of the week, they're something totally different. Paul says here to Peter, he says, you don't do well. You don't do right. He said, verse number 13, it says, and the other Jews disassemble likewise with him. In other words, Peter, not only because Peter started doing it, others started following it. In other words, whatever we do in our life, there's someone that'll start doing like us. Maybe there was someone that was righteous and holy and a Christian and the church all week long, but they saw you was only doing it on Sunday, and then you got away with doing it all the other times of the week, and so they started doing it too, just like you. That's what happened with Peter. And Paul says, no, this is not going to be. He said, Peter, I love you, and I love the church, and I love Jesus too much. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, I didn't get him in a corner, but I brought it out in the open. Peter was a leader. call it the preached a message one time, lizard Christians. Whatever, the crowd there around is who they turn to, color they are. You ever seen any of them? I'm sure if you've been living long enough, you do. Listen, he said in Revelation of the third chapter, verse 19, Jesus said, as many as I, what's that word? Love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and what? Repent. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. You see, if we love people when they're wrong, we'll let them know they're wrong. People are like cars. Did you know that? What, they got four tires? No. We're like cars. You have to carry it every once in a while and get that old front end lined up, don't you? You put all the new tires on it you want to, but if you don't get that front end lined up, you ain't going to go far. It's going to keep costing you and costing you. And so it's the same way in mine in your life. We have to constantly examine ourselves and make sure we're right, especially before we go and begin to examine someone else's life. Is that not right? Numbers in the 12th chapter, listen to this, verse number 1. He said, and Miriam and Abram spake against Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married the Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam. He said, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down into the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. That's the similarity of the Lord. Moses shall behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, if he has the similitude or the likeness of God, and yet you would dare to speak against such? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. See, they repented here. Wherein we have sinned, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of the mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. He asked a question. He said, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying, my friend, that Miriam, the next time she thought about taking and saying something bad about Moses, she would think twice. She would think about this experience. And it's the same way, my friends, whatever we take, and we'll restore someone that's taken, overtaken in a fault, and we'll do it in the right way, that we'll take and rebuke them, if we'll confront them and say, hey, you got to get this out of your life. We can't start restoration until this is out of your life, and when that's out of your life, we can start building again. You can give God something to work with. Amen. And he said, when you do that, when they realize that you mean business, the next time they'll think twice before they do it. Does it make sense? He says in 1 Timothy in the 5th chapter, verse 19, Remember now, he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy is he's like the pastor. He's in charge. Okay, letters written to Timothy, and one of the scriptures says, "Let no man despise your youth." All this, of course, we can draw them scriptures to ourselves too. But he says in the 5th chapter, verse 19, he said, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." In other words, what he's saying there is someone that is in a high position or in a position in the church, and someone just says something about it. And this is, in my opinion, this is in everybody's life. That I just don't take, it's kind of like no one scripture is any private interpretation. In other words, somebody comes to you and said, "You know that David Williams? Let me tell you something about him." Best thing to do is say, wait, just a minute. "I got his phone number right here. We'll call him up and tell him to come over and we'll see what you got to say." That's the best way to handle it. Amen? But if they're not there, don't receive it by just one. But if two or three people come to you, you know, you might bear to hear it a little bit. So that David Williams, and y'all have all heard, right? You know, I mean, there's the Bible gives us answers to everything in life. How to handle every situation, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in jobs. I mean, and everything that we have need in life is in the Word of God. So he's saying here to Timothy, he said, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." It's kind of like when someone has done you wrong and you go to, you know, let them know about that. And you go to them and you let them know, and they say, "I don't care what you say, I ain't repenting." Then you go and you get somebody else, and you two go as a witness, and they still don't. Then you bring it before the whole church. There's ways to do everything. There's instructions to do it the biblically way. And when you do that, you're no trouble with God. I said that Timothy's in charge because verse 20, it says, "Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Now, a lot of people would take that scripture and run with it, and they come in and say they're mad at Brother Anthony. Say Brother John's mad at Brother Anthony. We in a forum like this, and he just jumps up and says, "That Brother Anthony Davidson, blah, 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 blah." He said the pastor do that. When there's going to be rebuking before all, it better come through here. Amen? Nothing there. It's got to go through here. Amen. There's right ways of doing everything. See, when it comes through here, it has the approval of not only the body of Christ, but of God. Amen. And we understand it. But on one-on-one basis, when the Lord reveals to you something and shows something, it's kind of like my dad when he was first got saved and he was still smoking. And this preacher went to him and he said, "Brother Whitfield," he didn't go over to him and say, "That cigarette smoking going to send you to hell, boy. That's wrong to be doing that." He just went to him in a spirit of meekness, considering his own self, treating it like, how would you want someone to approach you in a matter? I mean, if you was the one smoking, how would you want somebody to come to you? Would you want them to come to you and say, "Hey, you going to die and go to hell smoking them old stinking cigarettes"? That's wrong. He just went to him and said, "Brother Whitfield, I love you. And I just want to talk to you a minute." And said, "You know, you might want to pray about them cigarettes." You can't argue with that. You know what my dad said? He said, "You know, it's the strangest thing." He said, "Every time I get one up out to light it, it's like somebody's looking at me." And he said, "I'll actually look around." And said, "Who's looking at me?" The preacher said, "It's the Lord." Oh. The Lord dealing with our conscience. That every time we do it, We feel something like, you get that feeling when you, come on, everyone that's in here since we got saved, and you start to do something, it wasn't, it's not necessarily sin, but it's just something, it's just, let me read a scripture right here to you. Hold on, not there. She don't have this, but listen to this. Verse 17 of the fifth chapter of Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so you'd go to do something that to the world would be stupid that you can't do that. And you go to do it, but you just kind of feel a funny feeling, but you go on and do it anyhow. That's the Lord. And every time you go ahead and do it anyhow, the next time it gets a little easier anyhow. To after a while, ain't nothing to it. And you say, well, I guess the Lord ain't convicted me no more. No, you're just too callous. Amen or oh me, which is it? James in the fifth chapter, verse 19, listen, he said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. This is what we're talking about. Look, I need every brother I can get. I need every sister I can get. I don't know of one person that's ever come through them doors here or down there at a trailer, everywhere, that I don't need in the army of God. Do y'all know of anybody? I need everybody. He said, if any do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul, think about it, from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Just because we which are spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Wow. Wow. Well, Brother Dave, I just can't. Love will make you do it. Love will drive you to do it. Amen? Love will approve you to do it. And lastly, in 2 Timothy 4 and 1, listen. Paul is telling Timothy, he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a charge, church. You have a. Do you know you got a charge? To protect the kingdom of God, to watch, be watchman on the wall, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Goes on and said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But that don't change one thing. We got to preach the word. In other words, everything you do, you better do it biblically. If you don't, listen to me. God is going to be more upset with you that's trying to correct that one than that one that needs correcting. Because we're the ones that are supposed to be spiritual. Amen? Do it biblically. That's what he's talking about. That's why I said preach the word. Don't put your opinions in there. Give them word for it. Don't put your feelings in there. He said, be instant in season and out. When it's convenient, sometimes it's when it's tough. Boy, there's some messages. Boy, it's every message. Don't let me fool you. Every message I enjoy preaching. I don't care if it's hard or not. I just love to preach. But look, some messages is like I'm slinging out honey to the people. Y'all been in here with some of them? And y'all get y'all big old biscuit buttered down and y'all sopping up that honey. Praise God. Hallelujah. You walk out of here and boy, like this. All full. But boy, some message you go out and people go out with their heads down. Hey, brother. Amen. What y'all think? We got to do it biblically. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You better know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't do nothing, because you're liable to slaughter them. This is a two-edged sword, is it not? Sharper than any two-edged sword. A sword can be used to do good, but in the wrong hands, it can kill people. And if you use it wrong, you can destroy lives. Amen? But if you use it right, it can be like the surgeon's scalpel, and it can heal. And it can cut out the cancer that's destroying lives. So he's saying here that all the law is fulfilled in one word. What word is that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these hang all the law and the prophets, we understand. And he says, if you see a brother or if you see a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In other words, read it backwards. If you don't never restore anybody, you must not be very spiritual. Amen? Remember the theology of the 15th chapter of Luke, and I'm close. The theology of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. There's three groups, right? One of them is the lost sheep. And you leave the 99. That little lost sheep, he's just a little lamb. He don't know. And he wandered off. We all got to go after that one. The lost coin, the woman lost it. In other words, Betty, you offended him. You go get him. That's what he's talking about. Kevin, you the one that upset him. You better go get him. Don't say, preacher, you go get him. No, you. You lost them. I didn't lose them. If I lost them, don't you go get them. You say, preacher, you better go get them. Right? And the last one is the prodigal son. They knew. They had their own mind made up. And they left. The father never one time went after him, did he? But he kept with anticipation. I believe he was praying. He might even send his son to check on him. How do you know? Because the older son went, when the younger came back, he knew all about him. Knew he'd wasted it in prostitutes. And see, he knew all about him. I don't know if he was just going in jealous or what. But I believe the father was praying. How do you know he was praying? Because he was looking. Is that what you do? Do you pray with anticipation? Believing. Amen. Come on, would you stand with us? Restore. Restored. Father, we love you tonight for who you are. We thank you for the word. God, help us to do our part, Lord. Father, the Wednesday night crowd, it seems like, Lord, that we can't put enough work on them and things that we need to be doing. But God, when we stand before you and hear those words, well done. The duty, like Sister Tina put in the newsletter, the duty is ours, but the results are yours. And Father, we just pray, God, that we would do our duty so that you can do your results in every situation for your glory. God, help us, Lord, this Wednesday night crowd, which is the backbone of the church. Most of the time, it's the tithers. Most time, the Sunday school teachers. Lord, the workers, the doers of the church here on a Wednesday night. Help us, which are spiritual, God, to be examples to others. Father, help us not to none ever be like Peter, that when we would be around one group, we would be as they. But we'd be around the other group, and we would be as them. God, help us to be the same always. Father, help us to be the mindset that the spirit is fighting against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, so that we just cannot do those things that the flesh would want us to do. Some things that just don't do. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for your word, but I also thank you for convictions. Father, I love you and honor you for it all in Jesus' name.